There. Okay. So, all right. Well, I hope you're having a good day so far. OPBC Online is a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. That's where the meeting house is located. And we are live in this studio here in the concrete castle. Look around here. This is all concrete. It was built by a brick dude. He built it himself and built it for himself. And then it wasn't initially part of this house. And then he sold it, sold this building. And ended up selling the house later and put it all together. It's kind of funny how that worked out. But anyway, this little wing of it right here that I'm in is my office here that I office at home when I'm in here. I'll be in here a lot more, but I haven't been in here that much this winter. I'm just so lazy. I don't want to walk down the driveway when it's freezing. Isn't that terrible? Anyway, anyway, we're going to be rearranging some of the other part of it to get the studio all ready, or to get my books out of the meeting house there, a lot of them, not all of them, get them over here. And we're going to be finagling a lot of things with all that and putting in some different things. And I'll probably end up putting in some shelves going this way, kind of over there, and all that good stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out here. And of course, YouTube does its best to make sure that it strangles my signal. Dark mode is great. Rumble is looking very promising. Oh, good. Luke likes Rumble. He says it looks very promising, and he's happy with Rumble and the way all that's working. So, good. All right. Luke's over there on Rumble. He's holding down the Rumble fort. There's about five people on Rumble over there. Let's see. Let's look at see who we got on here. We got about 23 people over on YouTube. And it takes a little while for everybody to get on. And Sermon Audio, we have three people over there on Sermon Audio right now. It takes a little while for everybody to get engaged in with everything, but we'll get there. And we'll get them all going here in the right direction. See what happens here with all that today. Let me go back to Restream and look at the chat there. We are working on a chat for our website. Brother Joshua's been working on the website and all that good stuff. And look at this. Let me show you something here. We have Spurgeon here, and we have the Neutner. The Neutner. You see this? Let me just switch this. Let me just transition this around here. So you have Spurgeon here. Whoops, hit my microphone. And you have the Neutner. Look at that. Remember the Noid? Yeah, he is. There's Spurgeon preaching to the Noid. Okay, anyway. That. Okay. Carl, I want you to know something. Carl, this Noid was donated by Dan the Man. Okay? This Neutner is donated by Dan the Man. All right, from OPBC. And Dan has asked me to smuggle the Neutner to you, Carl, as a gift. So the Neutner is coming to Europe with me. And the Neutner is going to be yours. He asked me to give it to you. And reluctantly, I agreed. Okay? Reluctantly, I agreed. So the Neutner is yours. Coming with me, smuggling him in the luggage. All right? There was only one condition. Number one, you got to get that stupid picture of that guy smoking a cigarette on your YouTube page off of there. And number two, you got to get a haircut that looks more like the bald guy that you got a picture of on there. Anyway, we'll work on that. Okay. Here's the view from Sermon Audio. This was this demonic awakening, charismatic Greg Locke at his demonic awakening ministries. That one. So anyway, you could listen to that. That was from Friday's broadcast there. Also, what's amazing to me? Everybody will listen to that, but they don't listen to the important stuff here, like this. Given by inspiration, what saith the scriptures? Part one. This is the inspiration of the King James Bible. Oh, that'll mess some people's up, won't it? But that's okay. We'll let it mess them up. But this sermon you ought to listen to, and part two will be up tonight. I had to slow the roll down because I had to get some other things that were clogging the chain up in there. And anyway, so we'll unload all of those on there, okay? So those will be on there later. I'll put that on YouTube. This one on YouTube here, coming up. Okay? Pray for a trip. The Lord has provided. We are very grateful for all that God has done for us to meet our needs and to take care of us on this trip. And please, special prayer, though, for Brother Andrew's paperwork to come in. And, of course, Mary's, that the decision is right. According to the will of the Lord, obviously, but we would, and what we would like to see, we would like to see Mary be able to go, right? So we're just praying that the Lord would provide that. Okay. And you pray for all those things. Okay. Pray the Lord to bless us and they've been. Whoops, that was me. Pray about this. Here's the video. Okay. Europe evangelism. All right. That'll explain to you what we're doing somewhat. It'll develop as we go, right? But anyway, you pray for us. And if you'd like to give to our ministry, PayPal, salvationpreacher@gmail.com, Cash App, Pastor Khalid, iCloud.com, Venmo. Mail something if you'd like to. If you can't do anything, that's okay. We're still going to be friends. Amen. Just trust the Lord Jesus Christ and you pray that God would use somebody else. Okay. But that's how you can know how to give to our ministry. Also, you can go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. Go there. You click on there. There's a button here for give right there. It's right there. It'll take you to our PayPal page and it'll tell you how you can do that if you'd like to go that way. Okay? All right. So you pray about that the Lord would give you wisdom if you're to do anything. If not, that's okay too. God is providing. We are very blessed and very grateful. So praise the Lord for all of that. All right. Now, we're going to talk about the Enneagram, I guess you could call it. And I'm going to give you a couple reasons why we're going to talk about that here today. Number one, it's witchcraft. We're going to talk about this number nine and how the Masons use the number nine and how the occult uses the number nine. We're going to talk about that. This is a little heretic that repented of using that. She has repented of everything else, but she repented of using that video or of using the Enneagram. And, you know, here's the thing. She's going to explain. And not perfectly, of course, because she's a woman. Number two, I'm going to show you why she was so deceived and why she continues to be deceived. And I'm going to show you some of the other things that go along with that. It's unbelievable. But we're going to first start with, let's see, not that one. I want to start with this SBC dude. Okay? We're going to start with this SBC dude. What in the world? Right, Andrea. See? This is why I bring stuff up. Look what Andrea said here in the comment section. She said, yep, just went into my mum's. Hey, are you from England? Do you say mum on purpose? Are you really from England and not from Iowa? Or do you just say mum? I'm just curious. Because if you have an English accent, when my family meets you guys, it's going to really throw me off. I'm going to be like, whoa, here's somebody from Iowa saying mum. Me mum. That's me mum. Okay. Now I have to know. I have to know. It sounds like something Carl would say. Me mum. Okay. Okay. Hey, amen. Just had a coworker ask me how to be saved. Amen. Oh, okay. All right. I don't know. Maybe she is really an Iowa lady. I don't know. All right. The gospel for the Enneagram. Now, let's stop here and tell you this. Let me give you this in layman's terms. What he's actually saying, this is the gospel of witchcraft. Because he is what I would call a stupid witch. Yep. Because he's a devil possessed to his toenails, wicked man. Because these people are practicing the occult and they're not stupid people. They know better. Don't tell me this guy doesn't know better than this. The Enneagram is a secular personality typing and self-awareness system that claims to provide insight into one's true self and spiritual freedom. However, its origins in Gnostic principles and teachings are incompatible with Christianity. And any suggestion otherwise is ill-conceived and potentially harmful to one's faith, says Jeff here in this article. Some self-proclaimed Christian leaders may promote the Enneagram, but this system is not grounded in Christian principle and relies on spiritual worldview that is fundamentally different than that of Christianity. This can cause confusion and lead individuals to question their faith. Furthermore, the Enneagram's emphasis on self-discovery and self-improvement contradicts the Christian doctrine of humility, which teaches that spiritual growth comes from a relationship with God, not from one's own abilities. Relying on the Enneagram can divert individuals away from God's grace and encourage self-reliance. Now, let me explain something to you here, okay? I probably shouldn't have said he was stupid. Well, he's definitely stupefied. That's for sure. And he's definitely practicing witchcraft. Oh, definitely practicing witchcraft. Okay, but, and these people, come on, the head of Christianity, you don't think he knows this stuff? It's hard for me to believe these guys don't know where this stuff comes from. I mean, it's hard. Anyway, the Enneagram's complex categories go far beyond. Now, let me show you the symbol. Okay. Here you go. Here's some symbols. And we're going to talk about the number 9 and Freemasonry, okay? We're going to talk about the number 9. All right? And this is nothing but witchcraft. Remember, okay, remember one thing. How do occultists speak? Who knows the answer to that? How do many occultists speak? You got it. You are correct. Jody wins the prize. I don't have anything to give you, but you won the prize. They speak in symbols, signs, and symbols. That's how they speak. So this symbol is saying something. They speak in numbers also. The numbers are saying something. Hey, guess what I'm going to do? On a side note, let me stop. Like a 12-year-old. Oh, look what I can do. No. Guess what I'm working on right now. Okay, are you ready? So, I'm working on OPBC hats. OPBC online hats. And I have to order like 35 of these hats. So, I'm working, or 30 of them. So, I'm getting them for the street preaching guys, or 20 of them, I don't know. I'm getting them for the street preaching guys, and I'm going to try to smuggle one to Carl over in, when I get over there. I'd like to give one to Joe, maybe. I wonder if I could smuggle these without smashing them too bad, smuggle them into my luggage. For one for Joe, one for Ross Duncan, and one for Carl. I'm going to try to do that. So, you know, I I'm going to show you guys as soon as I get how it's going to be. Now, I'm trying to get made for Brother Andrew and I, and for the men of Old Paths Baptist Church, the street preachers. I'm trying to get some nice shirts too as well. So I'm working on that right now. And we're all going to throw in on it to cover for it. But I want to at least get one shirt like this with the OPBC embroidery on it. OPBC online embroidery. And the hat that has that on it, too, for when we're out preaching. So anyway, I'm working on it. So then when we go out preaching, we have that. So I'm looking forward to it. The only problem is I don't know if I can get a hat big enough for Carl's stinking man bun so he could put a hat on that head of his. So maybe I'll have to shave his head first and get rid of the man bun off the back of his head so he could put that hat on. Okay, all right, back to what we were talking about here. The Enneagram, okay? They speak in signs and symbols. That's how they speak. That's how the occult speaks. That's how they talk. So Russell Moore he's promoting some really crazy things here, some really occultic things here. Listen, when somebody tries to analyze you and have you take this 9 points Enneagram and a personality test and tries to, "Oh, we're going to help you understand more about you, but we're not going to use the Bible. We're going to use a 9-point symbol or a 9-sided symbol to teach you about you." Hey, look, you little witch. I don't need a 9-point symbol to teach me about me. I have the King James Bible, which teaches me about me. It tells me exactly what I am and what I need to be. I don't need a 9-sided satanic symbol to try to explain to me who I am. That's stupid. It's witchcraft and it's nonsense and garbage. But that's what these guys, because the gospel's too boring for these guys. Biblical preaching is too boring for these guys. Most of them aren't saved. They're all a bunch of lost heretics. So what they do is they got this gospel of the Enneagram. The Enneagram's complex categories go far beyond what the Bible teaches about human nature, which can lead to confusion and misunderstanding. The Bible already provides a clear understanding of human nature, and any attempt to supplement it with man-made theories or systems is unnecessary and potentially dangerous. Well, I'll go a step further and say that it's witchcraft, and it's the philosophies of men, and it's very dangerous, and Paul warned us about it. You know who he warned about it? He warned the foolish Galatians. That's who he warned about it. He said this, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth and crucified among you? You're bewitched." By what? "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." That's what happens, and that's what's going on here. They're being seduced. It's called seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And when you start playing with things like this, oh, let me take this nine-sided symbol and let me just put it up here, and this is going to help define who you are. That is the dumbest thing in the world. God's word is what defines who I am. Not some stupid nine-sided symbol by some witch. Wait till you see where I show you where it came from. And what they're practicing with it. Okay, now, who are they playing around with? Who's Russell Moore playing around with? How about this lady? Among them is a woman named Susan Stabile, who is touted as the Enneagram godmother. Wait, you mean this old hag over here? Wait a minute, let me get this straight. This old witch hag over here, this old witch of Endor over here, is going to teach you and other pastors how to better themselves with a 9-point Enneagram. Are you smoking your socks? What are you, high? What are you on, dope? Are you snorting devils? What's the matter with you? The number one person in your conference is some short-haired Jezebel lady. Wait till I show you where she comes from. Not kidding ya. They're just a bunch of witches. Look, Susan Stabile, a professor of theology at St. Catherine's University, a Roman Catholic university. Really? Yeah, you know, kind of like St. Catherine's Monastery. You know, where the witchy poo Tindorf came together with the Pope and found his magical manuscripts that correct the received text. The underlying text of the King James Bible. Yeah, that one. The woman that's got shorter hair than Carl. Seriously, St. Catherine's University, Roman Catholic University, steeped in paganism and Eastern mystic ideologies. Right? So here she is, according to her website bio, an experienced spiritual director and retreat leader trained in the Ignatian tradition. She's a Jesuit witch. She's a mystic Jesuit witch. Oh. So Russell Moore, the effeminate Russell Moore of the SBC, of anti-Christianity today, got some Ignatian witch, a Jesuit Ignatian witch, teaching him how to get closer to God. Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, how about that? Like, they all actually got in a room. They're all actually going to get in a room together and go to a meeting together, and they're going to listen to this old lady preach to them about the Enneagram and nine numbers and all this other garbage. My journey towards wholeness, the Enneagram, wisdom for stress, balance, and transformation. You see how the Enneagram replaced the Bible? Roman Catholic all the way. How do I know? Because some type, some symbol, some icon, some entity replaces the scriptures as authority in their life, and they mystify anything. They're Kabbalistic, Masonic. Egyptian. Babylonian, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of all harlots. That's what they are, and that's what they're doing. And they're following it. According to her website bio, an experienced spiritual director and retreat leader trained in the Ignatian tradition, who offers retreats and other programs of spiritual formation in parishes, retreat houses, and other venues around the country. She regularly interviews with mystics, including Mystic Mag, and she blogs at Mirror of Justice, a group blog devoted to the development of Catholic legal theory. Yep, she's a witch. He's a witch. There you go. And this is what passes as Bible today. Or, excuse me, this is what passes as Christianity today. It's what they use today. Right? That's what they do. Others include Beth and Jeff McCord from Enneagram Coach, who tout themselves as some of the industry's leading experts, whose sole line of work involves making the Enneagram biblical. Really? Well, you know there's a problem, right? When you got to take the Enneagram, right? Listen, are you following me here? You got to take the Enneagram and make it biblical. Let me explain something to you, little witch. If you have to take something and try to make it biblical, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. If there's something that you're doing like that, and you have to try to make it biblical. Then it's wrong. It's wrong. Because if I'm teaching something that I have to try to make biblical, that means it's not biblical. Genius. Right? That means it's not biblical. But they're trying to make it biblical. And then there's Sean Palmer, an Enneagram theorist, according to his website, who wrote a book promoting the use of the Enneagram for pastors and teachers. Great. 40 days on being a three. Now, we're going to get into the number three, because in case you haven't figured it out, 3 + 3 + 3 = 9, or 3 × 3 = 9. Get it? Wait till you see what the number 9 is used for in Freemasonry. Then you'll understand. Then you'll get the game they're playing. Then you'll get it. Now, the Enneagram is so bad that even Jackie Hill Perry, which I'm going to show you the video of her, denounced it and repented for previously promoting it. Now, she's a heretic. She's a lost heretic. Right. And Jesus was 33 years old, 33 and a third when he died. So all of it is the number. There are 3 degrees in Freemasonry. And after that, you have that number three they use. And after that number three, after that, you have to go into Scottish Rite or the other rites of Freemasonry in order to get to the higher levels and such. But we'll talk about some of that. Okay? I'm going to show you this video first. Then I'm going to show you the other evidence I have for this.
I was really skeptical and have been for some years when people were saying that the Enneagram was demonic. Because I do feel like sometimes people can be way too deep, but the Lord prompted me to study that thing for a good 2 days.
Now, why did I only need 2 minutes? This lady needed 2 days. I needed 2 seconds to be like, you bunch of witches. What are you doing, you bunch of witches? Where are you getting this stupid 9-sided symbol from, right? Well, I'm going to show you where it comes from. But here's why. Can I show you something? Well, I can't anyway, because you can't stop me. But anyway, I'll show you, right? Let me show you something. I'm going to show you why this woman was so deceived. By the way, lady, if you're going to try to lead spiritually when you have a husband, if you're going to try to go off your own way and do things differently than God has commanded in the scriptures, you're going to be deceived. Women are deceived. And the serpent said to the woman, "Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." This is what the Enneagram is about. I'm going to show you this in Freemasonry and a few other things. It is about man obtaining godhood by the power of the Antichrist. It is gnosis. It is that knowledge and light that Satan, the light of the lodge, Lucifer, offers man. Oh, wait till I show it to you. It'll all make sense. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. See, she tried to spiritually lead, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. See, by the way, that's Freemasonry right there. The aprons that they sewed together to try to cover themselves up, the Masonic apron. It's the Antichrist little way of covering up your sins. They tried to do a good work and cover up their nakedness, but they couldn't, could they? No. They couldn't. Only Christ can cover you and clean you and make you whole. But the Freemasons believe that they could be whole in themselves, that they could be gods. What does the Enneagram teach? That you can be a god. Okay, watch.
Evil. And it ain't even funny. Like, it's legitimately doctrines of demons, divination.
Right. Well, you were practicing it, lady. And you were teaching others to practice it. And that's because she's a deceived woman that's trying to lead men. She's trying to lead. She pushes a feminist theology. She pushes an LGBTQ, which is all divination. So why did she fall for the Enneagram? She fell for it because she's a woman that is deceived. She already is deceived by doctrines of devils. That's why she has a little smirk on her face. You think I believe she's really sorry about that? No. I think she has a repentance unto herself. Because if she truly had the spirit of God, she would have seen this coming a mile away.
Witchcraft. And I had no idea. No idea. I think and then I'm done. Okay, so one of the dudes who was the originator of the contemporary understanding of Enneagram as we know it, he said that he got his information about it through an angelic visitation from a spirit or divine being named Metatron, which we know is a demon. And then...
remember Metatron? Not Megatron, by the way. Metatron. Right? Metatron. He's a devil. Not Megatron, but Metatron. It's a real devil. Okay, that's who it is. By the way, wasn't that who Carlos Santana? Did Carlos Santana say that he got downloads for his songs from Metatron? Is that what he said? Carl, do you remember that? And they sold their soul for rock and roll. Am I right about that? Did he say that it was Metatron that gave him his, with the electric guitar, that gave him his power, that gave him his understanding? Was it Metatron? And that I think it was Metatron. Let's see if it comes up. Forgot how to spell. Yep. Let's see. Carlos Santana believes in angels and has been in regular contact with Metatron since 1994. In the mid-1990s, Metatron appeared to him and told him he would be inside the radio frequency for the purpose of connecting the molecules with the light. He has felt their presence, communed with them, heard their words, and written down their instructions. There you go. I was right. Woohoo! I remembered that. Wow! I remembered something. Praise the Lord. But I watched that a long time ago, but they sold their soul for rock and roll. There you go. Go. How about that? Okay, let's go back to the video. So, in other words, the modern day person that subscribed to this, that produced this system of the Enneagram, follows a fallen angel named Metatron. Huh. Which is the same one that Carlos Santana was in touch with. A demon, a devil entity called Metatron. And Russell Moore of Anti-Christianity Today is following the same practice and system as Metatron. And then they're trying to take that and make it the gospel. So you could almost call it the gospel of Metatron, couldn't you? The Enneagram, the Gospel Metatron. Would that be funny? Isn't that a name? Come on, I got to come with the titles. I might change that name. Enneagram. Freemasonry and the Gospel of Metatron. Whoa, that's a good title, isn't it? The Enneagram, SBC, Freemasonry, the Gospel of Metatron. That title's going places, Carl.
The other guy who created the types, he said on YouTube that he got his understanding or the wisdom of types through automatic writing, which is a form of channeling spirits, where a demon basically guides your hand or guides your mind to help you write down certain ideas. So when we say, oh, I'm type one, type two, type three, whatever, we're literally applying to our identity the wisdom of demons. Like it's literally that deep. And I had...
Enrique Chile, yeah.
Yeah.
So that came from my own observations, but mostly from automatic writing. Yeah, it came to me through automatic writing.
What did?
The specific information.
And it's enneotypes.
About enneotypes, which I then verified through observation. Right. Because I was surrounded by people I was teaching and exploring with.
And I had friends in Enrique who told.
Okay, so here's this other witch. And he's like, yeah, you know something? That whole philosophy came from automatic writing. Whoa! Wait. Yeah, remember the JWs? Remember the Jehovah's Witnesses? Remember how they said that their teachings? Remember when I showed you that the teachings? Oh, let's go to it. But let me just at least go to the... It's easier to find on sermon audio. YouTube's a mess. But let me go to sermon audio, and let me click on here, and let me go to... Oh, I have something here. Here it is. Bam! Right here, the history of the JWs, JW Bibles, Jesuits and automatic writing. They say they got it from automatic writing. There you go. Back in 2018, I covered that. That's not a video, that's audio, but there you go. And I covered it then, and that's in the JW series. I don't have the videos of the JW series over here. But I should have, but I don't. But I know they're on YouTube somewhere. And I'll have to download them over there, or upload them, excuse me, over there. Doctrines of Devils, the New World Translation. How about that one, huh? How about this one? My favorite title of all time. Well, not all time. One of my favorites. Watchtower of Witches. Who doesn't like that title, huh? Watchtower of Witches, Occult Roots of the JWs. What an exceptionally good title. All right, anyway. That's automatic writing, friends. That means that devils are giving them information and downloading it to their brains.
Told me essentially the same story.
Yeah.
That John there Hillen. Was no mention of no others besides. He said there was no mention.
And I was telling Preston, part of this is I've talked about Enneagram on several occasions, and so part of me feels a responsibility to renounce it publicly and to bring attention to the demonic nature of it. Now, there are a few of the things that I've processed in the last few days, which is divination, witchcraft, all of this stuff. A lot of it centers around knowledge and being able to access information and secret and mysteries from sources that God hasn't sanctioned, whether that's using astrology, tarot cards, psychics, mediums, etc. And I don't find it odd then that in Genesis 3, that was the temptation to Eve. Like, hey, eat from this tree and you will have the knowledge of good and evil. You will have access to a knowledge that has actually only been reserved for God. And so I think that is still a common temptation now when we think about.
Right. One that this silly woman laden with sins fell for. Right? This silly woman laden with sins that she fell for. Right? Okay. So,
Enneagram, how do we think about that? Because I think people think, oh, it's giving me knowledge of self, but when it comes to,
hey, how could some stupid symbol and some foolish witch, their knowledge or gnosis of that symbol and the personality traits that go into that, it's nothing more than a Ouija board. That's what it is. It's like it's a Ouija board. And if you want to get devils, then just play around with the Enneagram and you're going to get them. Because you're playing around with an object trying to get spiritual knowledge, gnosis, and understanding from an object, from a symbol, from a type. And what you're going to get is devils. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get deceived.
Enneagram, we, those of us who, you know, believed in it to a certain degree, it was that it just seemed like a cooler personality test. Like it gave me language, or so I thought. It gave me language for who I was and what.
It gave me language for who I was. Right, because the symbol is speaking to her another language. A mystery language. Something that has been hidden. Something that has been hidden.
What made me tick and how to understand other people apart from the spirit. But I think what I'm seeing is that if these men develop this framework from demons, then that means that we are actually choosing to understand ourselves in ways that has nothing to do with the spirit of God. And if, like, why wouldn't Satan want to influence the way we understand ourselves? I don't know if that makes sense. I think what makes us skeptical is that it's also subtle. It seems good. It seems like wisdom, right? But what happens is, I know for me, in many of the conversations that I have with people about Enneagram, we talk about being a type more than we talk about being united in Christ. We talk about our numbers more than we talk about being a chosen race. We talk about our wings more than we talk about being conquerors. And do you get them? Like, I be at conferences where that is actually a part of the discussion more than the scriptures and what they have to say about our identity. And so we could say all day, oh, it's not an idol, da, 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 but it's like we actually believe the Enneagram more than we believe the Bible when it talks about ourselves. That's concerning. Trippy for me. It really, like, I had to tell the Lord sorry. Like, I'm sorry that I was so ignorant, you know, and I'm sorry that I used my platform to promote evil.
I'm not surprised. You're a deceived woman. You preach and teach things that are contrary to the word of God. You're like the witch of Endor.
That makes me sad that I was so ignorant to to a false wisdom when the scriptures and Jesus has actually been sufficient the entire time.
I don't think you believe that. I don't think she believes it now. I don't think she believed it then. Okay. But, you know, but, okay, so we're done with her, and we're going to move on to some other things. But that no, that Enneagram, right, this is one of the modern-day occultic proponents of the Enneagram, called the fourth way in practice. He says this, the Enneagram is a universal symbol or cosmic blueprint, a diagrammatic representation of the fundamental laws that create and sustain everything from the whole of creation to individual organisms. Listen, the Enneagram demonstrates the interaction of the law of three. Freemasonry is what it is. What they're talking about is Kabbalistic. It's Freemasonry. That's what they're talking about. It is Freemasonry. Okay? Now, the knowledge of the Enneagram has for a very long time been preserved in secret. And if it is now, if it now is, so to speak, made available to all, it is only in an incomplete and theoretical form of which nobody could make any practical use without instruction from a man who knows. In order to understand the Enneagram, it must be thought of as in motion, as moving. A motionless Enneagram is a dead symbol. The living symbol is motion. The symbol of the circle of 9 points has also been evolved. Thus, we see the law of three, the law of seven, the law of nine, which is the complete number and contains everything that there is in creation. No, it doesn't. But this is what they teach, because they're teaching witchcraft. They're teaching witchcraft. Look, to know the truth, one needs to know very little, but to know that little, one needs to know pretty much. The fourth way. See, they're witches. They're deceiving the masses. Because that's what they do. Now, we're going to look at some of these numbers. Okay? But let's look at another example here. Then we're going to get into the Masonic numbers and everything. Because what they're saying, they're speaking another language. See, you and I, we don't understand the language. And that's good. We don't understand the symbol. Because the symbol speaks nothing to us. Because we're Christians. If we're born again by the Spirit of God and we're saved, we don't look for lessons out of symbols like that. We don't look for lessons out of numbers like that. In that sense, there's numbers in the King James Bible that God teaches us. There's a Bible code like Pastor Hoggard talks about. He talks about the different numbers, but that's biblical. That can be seen in the scriptures. Yes, they did take it out of Crowley's. It's all magic. It's all Kabbalistic magic. That's what it is. And you have it going mainstream in churches. Okay, that's what it's doing. Now, David Platt. Listen to this. It's been revealed in a story broken by Capstone Report that a church planted by David Platt's church planting ministry in partnership with the Southern Baptist Convention, North American Mission Board, the NAMB, heavily promotes the use of the Enneagram to train its ministers for the gospel. Okay, wait a minute. So let me get this straight. Okay. You're not training men with the scriptures for the gospel ministry. You're training them with the Enneagram. So you're raising up a bunch of Antichrist churches with Antichrist philosophies. That you're teaching them witchcraft. You're bewitching them. They are teaching them the capstone religion. They are teaching them the Antichrist faith. That's what they're teaching them. That's what it is. It's Antichrist. That's the lessons that they're learning. That's what they're doing. Very dangerous. Very deceptive. The Enneagram touts itself as a way apart from the scriptures to gain insight into one's true self, which is witchcraft, by the way. Witchcraft. Restore balance and develop more desirable qualities to one's personality and reach a state of spiritual freedom. Spiritual freedom comes from Christ. When the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It doesn't come from some stupid witch's symbol. Period. The Enneagram is believed to have its roots in ancient occultism, and its earliest mentions can be found in the writings of Alpensky. Oh, there's more, though. Let's see if I put... I gotta find that. Oh, here it is. This is going to be interesting, too. But we'll get to that in a second. Let me get back to... Okay. Francis Royals, an associate of Alpensky's, the architect of the Enneagram, stated that what we should be interested in is true knowledge. Now, what you should be interested in is Christ and Him crucified. Whether in Western form or in the form of the wisdom of the East, both are united for us in this symbol, the universal symbol of the Enneagram, from which everything that we have taught here in this house since Mr. Auspensky died has been derived. Oh my goodness, what a witch. True knowledge. Look how it's capitalized there. Talking about gnosis. They're talking about occultic knowledge. That's what they're talking about. That's what they want you to have. Knowledge comes from reading the scriptures and from growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They want you to have witchcraft. The Enneagram is not only unbiblical, but more often than not, it is found to be at complete odds with the scriptures. Say about man, sin, and spirituality. Richard Rohr, a prominent emergent church leader, is one of the primary proponents of the use of the Enneagram in Christianity. Bob DeWay explains, it is clear that the theology that underlies Enneagram is lacking a view of God that is consistent with His self-revelation in the Bible, epitomized by having spoken to us in His Son. You know, we learn from the scriptures. We grow from the scriptures. What are they teaching? Things contrary to scripture. The church, which is pastored by Nate Crew, offers a training manual to train ministers called the Basic Training Booklet. In one particular part of this training manual, it states that the church will be contacting its ministers in training to submit to an Enneagram test to help identify your type. Really? Don't see that in the qualifications of a bishop. Bishop then must take the Enneagram test. Don't see that one in there. This is part of the church's session on spiritual gifts and accordingly will be used to identify, apart from Scripture, how a future minister can best serve the Bible, best serve the body. Wait, in other words, yeah, these Antichrist witches are teaching Antichrist gifts of witchcraft and replacing them and doing away with the spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, what the Holy Ghost gives a man when he calls him to the office of a bishop. And they're making new gifts that are man-made gifts inspired by Satan. Wow. That's witchcraft. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And that's welcome to the Antichrist religion, because that's what Antichrist religion is. It's witchcraft. That's what it is. That's what they're teaching people, and people are being deceived by it. NAM has been embroiled in scandal for as long as its current leadership has been in office. Reformation Charlotte reported that the Southern Baptist Convention's North American Mission Board put out a statement denouncing women pastors and stated that the organization would not support churches with female pastors. But that was after NAM President Kevin Etzel held a church planning conference with women pastors just the month prior. After the statement was released, another NAM leader, Dottie Lewis, who is president of NAM's Send Network, joined women pastors at evangelism conferences. Okay. Oh. Now we're going to show you. Decoding the origins of the Enneagram. There's a lot of different things on here. And a lot of it is Greek philosophies of men. That's what a lot of it is. Also, there was a little mystic. I think he's down here. No, not Pythagoras. That's part of it. Pythagoras. Not Philo. The Desert Fathers. Christian mystics. Yeah, this is him right here. Christian mystics. Okay, early Christian hermits who practiced asceticism in the Egyptian desert beginning in the 3rd century formed the basis of Christian monasticism. Following the example of Jesus' life of poverty, service, and self-denial, these early monks devoted themselves to vows of austerity, prayer, and work. Basically, they were little mystic witches that ran around there, and they used things resembling the 9 virtues and passions of the Enneagram, as we have today. They're mystics! That's what they are. It's where it comes from. Trying to be perfected in the flesh. Trying to be perfected and made whole in the flesh, and it will never happen. Down through the years, there have always been these men and these people that have tried, mystical gurus, right? That have tried to push this. It's all witchcraft. It's all satanic mysticism. Remember this guy? We just listened to him. We're not to learn the way of the heathen. We're not to act like the heathen. We're not to run around and be like them. We're to be different than the heathen. But see, all of them learn the way of the heathen. See, that number nine, they're trying to be gods. That's what they're trying to be, is gods. They wish and desire to be like gods and to be perfected in the flesh. Now, we're going to read some of the Masonic things that go along with this number nine, because it goes along with it. This number nine is for you to perfect yourself. It's for you to learn how to more about yourself. So you can have this absolute self-awareness. You can have this so you can understand more about yourself and basically be perfected. But there's one thing missing. That one thing is the capstone. Because without the capstone, the number nine stays a number nine. It doesn't become a number 10. The number 10 is that Godhead. It's that godhood in their eyes. That's what it is. I'm going to show you that. We're going to read from this, the Midnight Freemasons, Freemasons talk about topics of interest. The sacred number nine. Most Freemasons are familiar with the number 3, 5, and 7, but those are just a few that have symbolic meaning. As an active cryptic Mason, I have heard the number 9 used in the Select Master degree. I would like to share what I have found about the number 9 with you. In Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, and in the Holy Bible. Now, don't take anything this guy says for Bible. But listen to what he reveals about the number 9. Okay. I would like to share what I have found about the number nine with you. In Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, and he says the Holy Bible, there are many important numbers that are repeated. I believe the number nine to be one of the most symbolic numbers. As we study geometry, Pythagoras, and ancient mysteries, numbers will become more relevant. This paper will be very repetitive with you. With, you guessed it, the number nine. Jesus was about 33 years old when he died. 3 times 3 is 9. That's why they mock it, by the way. Jesus expired at the 9th hour. Jesus appeared 9 times to his disciples and apostles after his resurrection. King David ruled for 33 years, 3 times 3. The number 9 is used 50 times in the Bible. St. Paul enumerates 9 fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. 5 plus 2 plus 2 equals 9. The 9 spiritual gifts of God enumerated by St. Paul are wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, workings of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. According to Revelation 144,000 to be saved, the number 1 plus 4 plus 4 added up also equals 9. They like to mock the scriptures. There are also a few subtle Blue Lodge hints of the number 9. At the close of the Lodge of Master of Masons, the master, senior, and junior wardens gavel 3 times each to equal 9. In the second section of the Master Mason degree, the main characters include 3 kings, 3 craftsmen, and 3 ruffians, which adding up to 9. The size of the Masonic apron should be 144 square inches and exclusively of the flap. The numbers added means 1 plus 4 plus 4 makes our beloved lambskin 9. They cover themselves with a lambskin. Our jurisdiction, the grand honors, are made by a 3-step movement repeated 3 times to equal 9. In the chapter of the Royal Arch Masons, the opening consists of the companions forming a chain and balancing 3 times 3, and 3 times 3 equals 9. Next, 3 companions form a 3 triangles together, which 3 triangles is 9. The number 9 plays a huge part in the way the companions deliver the password. When the password is given, it is split into 3 parts and delivered 3 times to equal 9. The Royal Master and Select Master degrees of the Cryptic Council also have many appearances by the number 9. In the Royal Master degree, a certain character with the initials H.A., Hiram Abiff, maybe, conducts a companion around 3 times and knocking 3 times each time, and this also equals 9. Later in the degree, 9 cherubim are needed. The number of the Select Master degree is actually 9. The original name of the Select Master degree was Select Masons of 27, and 2 plus 7 equals 9. The secret vault that contained the 9th arch kept the sacred treasure. The hours of labor started at 9 at night. Select Masons cannot open a council with having 9 Select Masters present. Right? The hours of labor starting at 9. Select Masons cannot open accounts without having Select Masters present. 9. The top 3 officers gavel 9 times each to open the council. 9 claps are given in the York Rite Grand Honors. In the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, the highest degree is the 33rd degree, which is 3 times 3 equals 9. The symbol for the 32nd degree is 3 triangles that form a 9-pointed star. The 18th degree is full of symbolic and religious symbols, as 1 plus 8 equals 9. The Royal Order of Scotland symbol is a 9-pointed star. The Rosy Cross degree is about the Battle of Bannockburn in 1314. Which is 1 plus 3 plus 1 plus 4 equals 9. In this battle, 63 knights Templar assist King Robert the Bruce in battle. 6 plus 3 equals 9. Allied Masonic degrees is limited to 27 numbers. 2 plus 7 equals 9. I will now give more examples of the number 9's symbolic meaning. The number 9 was the symbol of the man, and 9 is the imperfect number. Well, Bible says the number 6 is the number of man, but look at this. The number 10, listen, the number 10 is a perfect number and is the symbol for God. The number 9 was the first square of an odd number, 3 times 3. It meant failure and was imperfect. It was short of the perfect number 10. On the Great Seal, the pyramid had 72 stones. 7 plus 2 equals 9, with the top stone missing. All right, let's go. We're going to do it. Okay. How many? 9. What's the top one? 10. Why 10? Godhood. Ye shall be as gods. That's what they're doing. That's what that is. Novus Ordis Seclorum. Novus Ordis Seclorum. The New World Order. That's the capstone. The capstone makes them gods. Wait. That's the one that's missing? Yeah. See, it has the one eyeball. See, one. Oh, and it's the last one to fit the top of the pyramid. Yeah. And see how it comes down to meet the pyramid? It's the capstone that makes them perfect in the flesh. Listen, they're saying our symbolism is 9. Number 10, when he comes, he's going to make us gods. Well, who's the 10th one then? Who is that one that will come? Well, he's the Antichrist. He's the all-seeing eye. Well, how do you know that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look, the Enneagram, the Ennead, or the Great Ennead, was a group of nine deities in Egyptian mythology, worshipped at the Heliopolis, the sun god Autumn, his children Shu and Tefnut, and their children Geb and Nut, and their children Osiris, Isis, Set. Wait a minute, preacher. Are you trying to tell me that that number nine is standing for that Antichrist that's going to come? Well, I'm not trying to tell you that. They're telling you that. And that Enneagram is a symbol. That Enneagram is a symbol perfect you to perfect you. They said it. It's the capstone. They're waiting for the number nine or the number 10. Here it is. Let's read it again. I will now give more examples of the number nine symbolic meaning. The number nine was the symbol of man. And 9 is an imperfect number. The number 10 is a perfect number and is the symbol for God. The number 9 was the first square of an odd number, 3 times 3. It meant failure and was imperfect because it was short of the perfect number 10. On the Great Seal, the pyramid has 72 stones. 7 plus 2 equals 9, with the top stone missing. They're waiting for it. What did they say? Lucifer was the light of the lodge. Doubt it not. Isn't that what they said? Isn't that what Fat Albert Pike said? As Hoggard affectionately calls him. So they're waiting for him. They are. The Kabbalistic tree of the Jews consists of 9 branches or worlds. The alchemist symbol is 3 times 3, and it equals 9. 9 is the esoteric number of man. Mystery groups all included the 9. An example would be the 9 worlds of the Odinic mysteries. The nine worlds of the Odinic mysteries. There are 33 segments in the human spinal column, which is 3 times 3 equals 9. This could have symbolicism if we consider our spine, listen, as the 9th arch and the word being in our heart. He's not talking about the word you're talking about. He's talking about the Antichrist word. He's talking about the Antichrist. He said, I came to my own conclusion after finding so many examples of the number 9 throughout Masonry and the Bible. The number 9 represents man in his perfect, imperfect state, who holds the sacred treasure within him. The outside of man is the temple. The inside of man under the last arch is his heart and the true word of God, which is safely deposited therein. The word that we have searched for is inside us if we believe and ask forgiveness for our sins. Oh my goodness. He's mixing witchcraft in with the gospel. See? That's that sacred number to him. He's teaching witchcraft. He's teaching the Antichrist religion. Yep, looks like it. It is satanic. And that's what he's teaching. He's teaching another Jesus, another gospel, another one. What is he teaching? the gospel of the capstone. This one. This one. That's what he's teaching. Okay, let's see here. Let me move on to the next one. What in the world do I do with that thing? Here it is. Here's another one from the Grand Lodge of British Columbia in Yukon. By the way, the number three. Of the five human senses, the three which are the most important in Masonic symbolism are seeing, hearing, and feeling. Because of their respective reference to certain modes of recognition, because by their use, Freemasons are enabled to practice that universal language, the possession of which is the boast of the order. Look at the number nine. Obviously, we know the five-pointed star. Look at the number nine. If the number three was celebrated among the ancient sages, that of three times three had no less celebrity. Because according to them, each of the three elements which constitute our body is ternary. The water containing earth and fire, the earth containing igneous and aqueous particles, and the fire being tempered by globules of water and terrestrial corpuscles which serve to feed it. No one of the three elements being entirely separated from the other, all material beings composed of these three elements, whereof each is triple, may be designated by the figurative number of three times three, which has become the symbol of all formations of bodies. Hence the name of the ninth envelope given to matter. Every material extension, every circular line, has for its representative signs the number of nine among the Pythagoreans. We had observed the property which this number possesses of reproducing itself instantly and entirely. He talks about how that number nine, the way that it goes, okay? The number nine was consecrated to the spheres and muses. It is the sign of every circumstance because of circle, or 360 degrees is equal to nine. That is to say, 3 plus 6 plus 0 equals 9. Nevertheless, the ancients regarded this number with a sort of terror. They considered it a bad presage, as the symbol of versatility, of change, and the emblem of the frailty of human affairs. Wherefore, they avoided all numbers where 9 appears, and chiefly 81, the produce of 9 multiplied by itself, and the addition whereof 8 plus 1 again represents the 9. As the figure of the number six was the symbol of the terrestrial globe, animated by a divine spirit, the figure of the number nine symbolizes the earth under the influence of the evil principle. Thence the terror it inspired. Nevertheless, according to the Kabbalist, the character nine symbolizes the generative egg, or the image of the globular. From whose lower side seems to flow its spirit life. The Enid, signifying an aggregate of nine thongs or persons, is the first square of unequal numbers. Everyone is aware of the singular properties of the number nine, which multiplied by itself or any other number whatever gives a result from final sum is always nine. Or always divisible by nine. Nine multiplied by each of the ordinary numbers produces an arithmetical progression, each number, each member whereof composed of two figures. So there you see the numbers there. The first line of the figures gives the regular sense. One. In Freemasonry, nine derives its value from its being the product of three multiplied into itself. And consequently, in Masonic language, the number nine is always denoted by the expression three times three. For a similar reason, 27, which is three times nine, and 81, which is nine times nine, are esteemed sacred numbers in the advanced degree. So, I'm 46. Not 47. Thank you very much. Anyway, so you see the number nine is a sacred number to occultists. Hence, you see the symbols that they use. Right? They're speaking something in symbols. But they speak in symbols, in numbers. As you can see, this Enneagram and what it teaches is witchcraft. I can't believe it's 333 right now. That's crazy. Anyway, there you go. 3 plus 3, right? Plus three. Here it is. The Ennead, or the Great Ennead, was a group of 9 deities in Egyptian mythology worshipped at Heliopolis. Here's a picture of it. Okay. The Ennead, or the Great Ennead, was a group of 9 deities in Egyptian mythology worshipped. The Great Ennead was only one of several such groupings of 9 deities in ancient Egypt. Its claims to preeminence by its Heliopolitan priests were not respected throughout Egypt. As close as Memphis, or as Cairo, the priests of Ta celebrated him as a superior to the 9. Okay? It means the 9. Ancient Egypt's Egyptians created several Ennead's as their unification under dynasty. Okay, so they, the creations, according to the creation story of the Heliopolitans priests, the word originally consisted of primordial waters of procreation personified as Nun. From it arose a mound on the first occasion. Upon the mound sat the self-begotten god Autumn, who was equated with the sun god Ra. So there you go. It's all steeped in pagan witchcraft. It's all steeped in the Babylonian mysteries. That's where they get it all from. Now, the question you have to ask yourself is, what would Christians have to do with this? Why would Christians have anything to do with such things? Why would they? They shouldn't. It's free. It's Freemasonry. It's speaking the occult language. It's the mystics. Ignatius Loyola from Ignatius Loyola. Remember, let's see. Remember Here we go. Contemplative mysticism. I taught you on this here, the history of it, right? Where it comes from, the occult practices. These are the mystics, right? These are the mystics that were a part of all of that, right? They're part of that New Age mysticism. All right. I gave you the history of some of these things. You can find that if you don't know what the history is of it, right? You can find it. And you can understand where it came from. The ascetic monks, you know, trying to perfect the flesh. They're always trying to perfect the flesh. Always trying to make themselves suffer enough in the flesh, humiliate themselves enough in the flesh, deprive themselves enough of the flesh to please God. By the way, that's a trap Christians can get into. You know, we can try to be perfected in the flesh. You know, you begun in the spirit. You know, you're saved by the grace of God. You know you're a Christian and born again, but somehow along the way you get sidetracked and you try to please God in the flesh. Well, you can't do that, friend. Jesus Christ pleases God. And because I'm saved by the grace of God, I have the Holy Ghost of God, and God is pleased with me because of Christ. He is forever and eternally eternally pleased with me because of the atonement that Jesus made on the cross for me. That he was dead, he died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And God is pleased with me in Christ because he is the propitiation for my sins, and not for mine only, but for the sins of the whole world. So we rejoice in that, that we cannot be perfected in the flesh. We never will be. We don't need to please God in the flesh. I want to please God in my daily sanctification, yes. Because I want to walk in the truth. I want to walk in humility. I want to walk in faith. And I want to love my neighbor as myself. And I want to be a good husband, a good father, a good pastor, a good Christian, why? Not because I'm trying to impress God, but because I want to honor the Lord with my life, because he forgave my sins, because it's out of love and reverence to God, not because I'm afraid God's going to punish me if I don't do everything perfectly. I'm not afraid of that. But I want to please God because he loved me and gave himself for me, right? And I want to please him in all things. That's why. Not because I have to do it, otherwise I'm going to be in trouble, right? It's not because of that. So, you know, we have to remember that. And but here are these people. They are trying to find, you know, they go a long way, don't they, to try to perfect the flesh. You're not to perfect the flesh. You're to deny the flesh, take up your cross, and follow Christ. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You and I are to learn to walk with God, to be pleasing in him in all things. But not so we impress God. Not so we impress him. But because he loves us. And because we love him. And if you want to learn more how to do that, then the Bible says that you and I are to learn of Christ. We're to get in the Word of God. Don't look into an Enneagram. Look into your Bible. Don't try to apply the Enneagram to your life. Apply the Scriptures to your life. Don't try to make the Enneagram fit your spiritual walk. The Bible says that you and I are predestined to be conformed. The image of Christ. Right? Romans 8:29. And 28 is, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So you and I are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. Well, how do I do that? Well, I need to learn more about myself. No, you don't. You need to learn more about Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Your problem is your thinking. Don't look in the Enneagram, look at Christ. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're to look unto Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is by this perfect book, not the Enneagram, but this book, the King James Bible. That's how you and I are conformed. That's how you and I are transformed. You want to be transformed? You got to be more like Christ. You want to be more like Christ? Then you need to have your eyes on Jesus. If you have your eyes on some stupid nine-sided symbol, you're just going to be an idiot. That's all. You'll be magnificently distracted from what you're supposed to be focused on and look like a fool doing it. Romans chapter 12. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, this is what affects your thinking. you're think. You know what? When you start looking at Enneagrams and any other gram or Teddy grams or any other gram you want to look at, you're going to get all messed up. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You look at the scriptures, you don't look at yourself. Oh, I need to look inside myself and see more about myself. No, you don't. All you're doing is looking at a depraved mess. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking at ourselves? No! Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You better look to Jesus. You better keep your eyes on Christ. Perfection comes from keeping your eyes on Christ. Desperation, discouragement, depression, and everything else comes from looking at yourself. Oh, I need to figure out my personality. It's my personality trait. I got to figure out my personality trait. No, you don't. You got to be like Jesus. You got to have your heart set on Christ. You got to look what the Bible says you're to do. Colossians 3:2. If you then be risen with Christ, verse number 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That includes you, big boy. Or lady. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Who cares what your personality is? It's a fallen creature. It's a fallen nature. Your heart is a fallen heart. That's why you got to walk in the Spirit. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Mortify. Destroy. Subdue, bring into subjection. Set your affection on things above. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For such things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked times past, walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Don't put on some stupid symbol, some nine-sided satanic symbol. Oh, I need... My Enneagram. Sounds like you're talking about an enema. My enemagram. My enemagram. I don't need some spiritual enema like Benny Hinn's wife talked about. But spiritual enema. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Then you want to know how to live. It ain't by an enemagram either. It ain't by your enemagram. What is it by? He tells you, by Christ. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, to anger, excuse me. Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Okay, what else does he say? Man, you're getting a whole sermon in the last 10 minutes here. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Some guy run around saying, I need to get that enemagram. I need to figure out that enemagram. I need to be a better man, so I need to make the enemagram more like the gospel. So I need my enemagram. No, you don't need your enemagram. You need to follow the scriptures. Looking in some stupid symbol. What's the matter with you? If you're out there doing that, what's wrong with you? You've got God's perfect, inspired, infallible word in front of you, and you're going to walk around playing games with an enemagram? Really? You're going to look at a stupid nine-sided symbol? And then call yourself preachers? They call yourself Christians? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. But now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's all you need to know about that wicked flesh of yours. That's all you need to know about your flesh. That's it. It's wicked. It's vile. It's fallen. That's our flesh. Oh, I need to learn more about my personality. No, you need to learn Bible. You need to learn the scriptures. You study what Jesus says about, and what the Apostle Paul says about the walking in the Spirit versus the lust of the flesh. You look at it. That's the battle. That's the war. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Look what he says here. If we live in the Spirit, he's talking to saved people, not talking to lost people. You and I live in the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. That means that you and I, saved by grace, having the Holy Ghost, sealed under the day of redemption, that doesn't mean that we're always walking in the Spirit like we should. Sometimes we're walking in the flesh. Sometimes we're walking contrary to the Spirit and we're giving over to the flesh. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So what he is saying is you ought to walk in the Spirit. This is the, you don't need an enneagram. You need the Bible. You need God's Spirit. You need the power of God unto salvation. If you're a child of God, if you're saved, then guess what? You need to be walking in the Spirit. You don't need to know more about you. The more you study Christ, the more you study the Scriptures, the more your eyes are on Jesus, the more your eyes are on the Scriptures and on the truth, the more God will reveal what's wrong with you and I. And he will weed out the stuff that's in that he doesn't want us to have in our lives. But you won't get that looking at some symbol like this. You won't get it looking at the gospel for the Enneagram, the Enneagram. What you'll get is a bunch of devils. That's what you'll get. Don't worry, Hannah. It's just one of my stalkers. All right, everybody. Well, God bless you. I hope you got the last half of this sermon here for you. I gave you enough scripture to grab onto. Let's get to a song here and then give you a chance to say hi. All right. All right, let's see here. Actually, go here to our drive. I got to clear out some of this drive, man. I got a bunch of stuff in here. It'll make life easier. Oh, no. Let's see. Here. Hang on. There it is. That's what I'm looking for.
The Savior bids his children in. Only those will go who are saved from sin. Nothing evil there in that land so fair, where the saints and saved abide. All around the the throne will shout and sing, making melody and praises ring. Cares will pass away on that wondrous day when the pearly gates swing wide.
When the pearly gates swing open wide,
and the Savior says to come inside. What a joyful sound, shouting all around as the Christ is glorified.
Won't you come along and join the host?
Jesus gave his life to pay the cost. Here is banner bear, then his glory share, when the pearly gates swing wide. When we sail across the mystic sea, angels there will welcome you and me. We shall join the song of the ransomed throng on the shining glory side. All our troubles gone forevermore, safely anchored on fair heaven's shore. Happy we shall be, what a jubilee, when the pearly gates swing wide.
When the pearly gates swing open wide,
and the Savior says to come inside. What a joyful sound, shouting all around as the Christ is glorified.
Won't you come along and join the host?
Jesus gave his life to pay the cost. Here is banner bear, then his glory share, when the pearly gates swing wide. Soon we'll look upon the Savior's face. We will thank him for his saving grace. Prostrate we will fall, for he did it all. We will give our crowns to him. Then we'll sing and shout forevermore, thankful just to be on that fair shore. When we all get there, heaven we will share, when the pearly gates swing wide.
When the pearly gates swing open wide,
and the Savior says to come inside. What a joyful sound, shouting all around as the Christ is glorified. Won't you come along and join the host? Jesus gave his life to pay the cost. Here is better bear than his glory share, when the pearly gates swing wide.
Amen. Amen. How about one more? Let's see. We'll go with it.